Alrighty, we're going to wrap up chapter 9 of Hebrews. And I just want to say this. I pray the Lord will lay on my heart messages from chapter 7 and 8. We've gone past those two chapters for this reason, that I just didn't feel the Lord had laid upon me the knowledge to preach for them yet. You know, the word is this. The word is, get on the road to Jesus. And if you don't find that road, then go to scriptures where you can find that road. That's my purpose. That's the purpose of God's ministers. And we'll look at this even deeper in our next study, in our next message. I've got a message that I think the Lord has given for me today to bring before you. We're going to come back to the book of Luke. We're going to go back to the book of Luke in our series in the book of Luke. And I want to bring before you a message that I titled, and I'm giving you a little carrot. I want to put a little carrot on it. It's titled, All I Have. That's all I got. I get on that road to Jesus. And the Lord hasn't shown me that yet, where I should look for that, how to look for that, in chapter 7 and 8 of Hebrews. But I'm praying the Lord will open those up to me, just like He did to our brother Rick Warden this last week. Rick was praying hard. There was a psalm that he had come to, and he had looked at it, and he had read about it, he had prayed on it, he looked at commentaries about it, and nothing was coming to him for it. And then, boom, the Lord brought something into his life where He just opened his mind right up to it, and he preached Christ. He preached Christ. This morning, we're going to wrap up chapter 9 of Hebrews. In the Lord's Word, He tells us there, verse 22 and 23, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified, should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these," speaking of the blood of bulls and goats. Well, that's what this morning's message is. There's no remission. If you've got no blood, you've got no remission of sin. Our God, God Almighty, will not and cannot forgive sins without blood payment. Why? Why? Because He says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's why. He says. He has made that statement. Therefore, without blood, there is no remission of sins. Our Lord, the God-man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, under the law given to Moses, it says virtually everything relating to worship of God was ceremonially sanctified. Everything in the temple, everything in the temple that God had for the people of Israel, the place where it was serviced, where services were held, where the people, the congregation came together, the holiest of holies, where only the high priest went in. Everything had to be sprinkled, washed with blood. That's what we just read there in Hebrews 22 and 23. Over in verse 18, we read these words, "Whereupon neither the first testament," that's what they're talking about, the dedication to the temple, the washing of all the utensils, all the parts of of worship had to be covered with the blood. Had to be sprinkled, "whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heavens should be purified with these," with the blood. but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Those sacrifices that God instructed the people of Israel, they never saved anybody. Isn't that what we read over in Hebrews 10? Isn't that what we read over in Hebrews 10 over there? For it is not possible, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So we see that the blood in the heaven must be of better things. Now remember what we started. What was it we started with in the beginning of Hebrews? Remember what we started with? What is Hebrews? It's a letter declaring the better things. We have the sacrifices. We have the high priest. We have the tabernacles. We've looked at all these things. We looked at the angels. We looked at all of God's creation. All of the ordinances that God gave for Israel to do. There must be better. There must be something better. Those things never saved anyone. And those who know God know that. All that we do with our hands does nothing for our salvation. When Moses gave the pattern for the tabernacle and its services, he took the blood and water. He took the blood and water. Well, what do you mean by water, John? Remember when the Lord was on the cross and he was stabbed in the side? The blood and water typified the blood and water which flowed from his side, from his pierced side. And it stands for our justification and our sanctification by his blood. That's what the blood and water is talking about. And he sprinkled the book with that. He sprinkled the people with that. He sprinkled the tabernacle, all the vessels used in worship of God. Almost all things are purified by the means of blood. That's what we read in Leviticus 17:11. You can read that on your own. Other things were ceremonially purified by water and fire, but without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sins. That's what it's telling us. But without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no example of pardon and forgiveness without the shedding of blood. The Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies, as well as the very fact that Christ's blood had been shed, makes it foolish to suppose that pardon might be without it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 5. Hold your place there. We'll come back to Hebrews. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you a verse over here in verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. And we read, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven." Now remember what purge means. That means to cleanse. That means to wash. It means to put to death. "Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." There's the blood. Purge out that old thought about the works of man and helping the Lord. He doesn't need our help. What he did was sufficient. It was enough. It is finished, is what he said. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Look at a couple verses over there with me. In Galatians chapter 2, we read in verse 19, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Am I stuck? You're right, I'm stuck. Because that I know, by the faith, the gift that God has given us to believe in Him. That's my life now. Do I live by all those laws and all those commandments that God gave us in Matthew chapter 7 and 6? Yes, I do. I live in my Lord Jesus. In Him, I fulfill those laws. In Him, I fulfill those commandments. Do I pass over them that we should not walk as he says? Absolutely not. God forbid. I've told you this before, and I'm going to repeat it. I don't need to tell you how to live. God's Word is good enough at doing that. And we read His Word, and we see His Word. I don't need to explain it to you. You don't need to hear from me how to walk. You know it through God's Word. What you do need to hear from me is that when we can't walk it, when we don't walk it, we have an advocate in heaven. That's what we need. We need a Savior. We need one whose blood saves His people. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Is that not good news? Is that not the gospel? Oh, folks, I'm so blessed to be able to stand before people and tell you what the Lord has done for me. I'm not going to stand before folks and tell them how holy I am because I study and I do this. Because I'm not. My Savior is the one who's holy.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Do you get that? Do we understand that? If there was any way that salvation could come through the law, then Christ died in vain. Back in our text. Fulfilling the types and the patterns of heavenly things given in those Old Testament symbols, as we read over in Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 9, verse 23, the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, entered into heaven before the holy Lord God as the representative and the mediator of God's elect, the true spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, as the Lord calls it. Having fully satisfied the law, He atoned for our sins with what? His blood. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Having fully satisfied the law, He atoned for our sins with His blood. He makes intercession for us in the holy place in heaven itself, presenting the infinite merit of His blood and righteousness continually without end. Look over 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we read these words in verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Do you hear that? Does that reach out to you? That ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation. That means the washing away for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, all of His elect, throughout all time, throughout all generations, throughout all tribes, all of those for whom the Father giveth Him. We have an advocate in heaven. So remission is performed. Remission was the only picture in those Old Testament ceremonies. It was actually once and forever performed and accomplished by the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. Did you know that? Look with me back in our text in Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verses 24 through 28. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places with hands. He didn't enter into that temple that had to be washed with. Could you imagine how stinky that temple was? With blood being sprinkled every worship day, every day that they came together to worship as a congregation. Once a year, the priest going in. Man, there's a lot of blood spilled. A lot of blood spilled. Our Lord did not enter into a holy place that was made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. Did you catch that? They were nothing but figures of the true. There's a better holy place, the holy place where the Lord Jesus sits right now, the true, but into heaven itself, it says, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But He only had to do it once. It says next, but now once. And the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice the shedding of His own blood, the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, I've mentioned this before, but folks, you're like me. I'm not a young man. We're not far from that door. That door could come today. That'd be all right with me. I'd be okay. I'd be okay. It concerns me a little about what my wife would do, but you know something? My Lord's going to take care of her if He takes me. If He takes her first, He's going to take care of me. He loves us, folks. Is there anything God would not do for His people? He gave His Son, did He not? He shed His own blood, did He not? He'll take care of us. We're so close to that day, Mark, death. Larry Kent sins no more. He stands in the presence of Jesus Christ as perfect and righteous as the Son of God. The greatest thought I can have in this flesh is there's a day coming when I will sin no more against my God. Isn't that wonderful? That day's coming. Our Lord, our great mediator, our high priest did not enter into an earthly, material, holy place, but into heaven itself, it says. Look. Look yonder. I know that's a southern word. I'm not from the south, but it's a good word to use. Look yonder. Look. Look. He sits upon the throne as the God-man. Do we see that? It's not a spirit. It's not something we can't look at. It's Christ Jesus the Lord sitting on His throne. We can look at it. We can see Him. I'm going to be with Him one of these days. One of these days soon, I'm coming home, Mike. We're coming home. We're on our way. I'm coming home. And He represents John Reeves. Those of you who are online, too many to list off and too many sitting here this morning, He represents us. That one great, infinitely merodeous is the way Don Fortner describes it. Sacrifice for our sin was and is enough. Look over at Hebrews 10 again. You know, I didn't even know if we're going to go over and look at Hebrews 10 on a verse by verse. You know why? Because we've looked at it so much. We referred to it so often. I'm still going to go through it. But Look over here at verse 11 through 14. And every priest standeth daily. This is talking about all those who are picture, ministering and offering times the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man whose blood is better than any animal that ever walked this earth. This man whose blood is effectual. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Be sure you understand the teachings of this scripture, folks. The Son of God did not die merely to make it possible for sins to be put away. He did not merely provide a way for sins to be put away. He has, by His sacrifice of Himself, put away all the sins of His elect, which were given to Him. He has put away our sins fully and forever. Turn over to Romans 4, verse 8, and then I'll bring this to a close. Is this not good news? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. How can He not impute sin to a man by taking that man's sin upon himself. That's what he's done. He has given of himself as our substitute. He imputes no sin to us because those sins were imputed to him. They were given to him. He went to the cross and shed his blood for them. Listen to this. As men die just once and face judgment but once, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To bear the sins of God's elect. They are now fully paid for and forever put away. It's not possible for the sins he put away to be imputed to his people again. Justice will not allow it. Let every ransomed sinner rejoice in this fact that Christ has put away our sins. We met God in judgment at Calvary in the person of our substitute. God punished us in Him for all of our sins to the full satisfaction of His holy justice. Now we have every reason to look forward to Christ's coming. Unto all them who believe on Him and look for Him, He will appear without sin unto glory, unto eternal glory. This is our blessed hope indeed. Either God rules or He is ruled. Either He is in control or He is controlled. Either He is absolutely and universally over all things and at all times, or there is something somewhere that is sovereign over Him. I believe my God is sovereign over all things.